Welcome to the Hand Jam Rant Show, the audacious podcast by Hannah Rankin. I am your host, Hannah Rankin, and I interview guests who have made bold moves to create positive change, be that personally or societally. My guests are collectively from a plethora of diverse backgrounds, and together we discuss a vast array of topics. If it is empowering and audacious, you will find it here on the Hand Jam Rant Show. Hello, what's up? Welcome to the snazzy little bonus episode of the Hand Jam Rant Show. Here we've got the final six questions that I ask every single guest on the show with Huck Hastings, or Harry as I know him. And yeah, we interviewed him last week on the show. It was a beautiful conversation the night before his album, his debut album came out, which was so exciting and such an honor to talk to him at that pivotal moment in his career. But it was such a great and gorgeous conversation that it went on and on and on. Not that I'm complaining, but it was a pretty long convo, so I decided to make it a more palatable, more digestible length to split off these final six questions. So we're going to roll with it now. And as per the previous ep, Harry is super insightful and just deep. You know, he's really thoughtful with all of his answers. So I hope you'll enjoy this episode. I love these little shorter ones. They're just so, such a good bite-sized bit of joy, you know? I did promise I was going to put it out a little earlier than I am, but you know what? These things happen, and it's just proof that I was having a real nice time and took some time away from the laptop, which is no bad thing. So can highly recommend it. Maybe not from your smartphone, because you may need that device to listen to the podcast. But take some time away from the keyboard, you know? Anyway, I'll stop being silly and let you enjoy the insightful answers from Huck Hastings. Okay, are you ready for the final six?
Okay.
What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
I usually turn on FBI radio.
Cute. Get that music in straight away.
Mm-hmm.
What action feels most like prayer to you?
Walking.
Really? That's so interesting.
Mm. It's where I do most of my songwriting, just in my head thinking.
Wow. And then can you retain it?
Well, it's not like, I feel like most of my process is just like allowing my subconscious to like mull over how I feel. And so then when I sit at the guitar, it just comes out.
So did you write with the guitar rather than lyrics? Do you do melody then lyrics, or?
I'll constantly be tracking. I don't think about melody so much. I just constantly will be thinking about we had an argument. I'd be like just walking and processing that. And then
I'm going to write this down in a song.
No, more so like, yeah, exactly. That's it. That's the chorus. That's the hook. more just like, what was that about? What could have gone differently? Like why, you know, like what, you know, what was my part in that? What was their part in that, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, maybe I'll have a line like, the commitment issues line, you know, I can't commit to anything else but you. Like that would have just started as like a, oh God, you know, like why can't I commit to anything? Well, I've committed to him or them for, you know, like that long, like, and then all of a sudden I'll be at a guitar and like, I'll have one line will just fade the next. And it just kind of comes out pretty fully formed. Cause I think because most of the work is done with the subconscious and the mulling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds epic. What an amazing process. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your brain, feeling it all come together.
Very busy.
Okay, what's the most audacious thing you've ever done?
Oh. I think release. I mean, I think like releasing this music really because it has the audacity to think that my story is worth telling. I think that's pretty audacious.
I feel like that is a huge point of contention in many creatives' mind, myself very much so included in that. It is really hard. And
Yeah,
I
definitely.
wonder if you feel this actually, because I also am PRing myself and I've been a PR for, as I said, over 7 years, but then doing it about me, and I consider myself as a very confident person, but then pitching yourself. Here's why you should talk about me. Here's why you should feature me. Like, this is what I've done that deserves to be written about. It's like you got
It's
this
so hard.
huge voice going, "Who the fuck do you think you are, babe?" Like, that is
Absolutely,
hard.
100%. I think also reconciling for me, like one of my biggest challenges is re like reconciling my ambition makes me feel dirty often. And so like having, which it shouldn't, but sometimes I just go, oh, why can't you just make the art and put it in a drawer? Like, why can't you, like, why do you feel the need to seek validation from the outside world? But I think it's more complex from that than that, and I'm not giving myself enough credit because I think, like I get so much out of receiving other people's art, and I think I know deep down, but it's like I think that feeling of ambition is a dirty one for me. Like I try not to, but there's something about it that I haven't yet fully, but obviously it's not, not bad enough that it doesn't stop me. So.
Yeah, and oh God, I relate so much, like in the two ways that I want to sort of channel myself. One with my writing, I've written forever, but I've got files and files on my computer of my writing that I don't do anything with. And for a long time I've been okay with that, but now I'm actually finally kind of, I'll use the word audacious, like I feel audacious enough to spread the word. But then also with the
Yeah,
podcast,
you
like
should.
so much fucking joy from this. Absolutely love it. Feel like I found a calling. And then to think about, when I talk to sort of my inner circle, I'm like, I want to be hitting these download numbers. I want to be getting this amount of growth. And it's like, even in the conversation in that safe space with my loved ones, there's this kind of, we together, we go back and forth, like, well, how much focus should be put on that? And yes, it's not going to be the reason why I do what I'm doing, but I think it's very fair to want to see growth. And I don't think that undoes
Absolutely.
your creative sort of integrity.
No, and also I think it just makes the process like it's like something to work on. I think like I think we're both very growth-minded people, and so I think to it's just it is just another way to be creative, and it's like watching that grow makes me more excited, and it gets me more amped, and I feel like I get more inspired, and the ideas start flying more, and it just helps the process along a lot more.
Yeah, love it. I
Yeah.
love when you said that we're very growth orientated, because I feel like spiritual and business growth applies to
Yeah,
that.
100%.
Yeah, love
Yeah,
it.
definitely. Well, it's like, that whole like thing where people are like, oh, they've changed, or I'm like, yeah, no shit. Like it would be weird if they hadn't.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point. Like
We're
it's like, could you
evolving
imagine if you're like
here.
you got to 80 and you're like, exactly the same.
Still that
Oof.
arsehole
Oof.
13-year-old.
Oof. Yeah. You can't teach me shit. So yeah, I can help.
Very poetic. Okay. What commitment are you going to make to yourself for this coming week? I feel like this is a great one for you because it's such a big week.
Yeah. I am going to there's like two voices. One of them's going, you're gonna work nonstop and do everything you can to get this album seen as much as possible. And the other one's going, you're gonna let yourself rest.
Wow.
I think, yeah, I've been going and jumping in the ocean, which is not something that I do very often, but the last few days. And I think just like spending that time, I've also been like meditating. I've noticed, you've been doing your meditations as well. I think I'm going to keep focused on trying to achieve a sense of equilibrium. a balance between both of those things, and know that I've put in a lot of work and keep working, but not overdo it or punish myself. Just I'm going to, I promise that I will let myself enjoy the process,
Oh.
enjoy the album release, because I don't want to taint it with not thinking that I've done enough, because I've literally been working on it for the better part of a decade. So I'm going to enjoy it.
My heart could burst. I'm so excited for you. Also, when I was listening to it today, I'm like not very cool when it comes to music. Obviously, I have great taste, but I'm not very finger
Neither.
on the pulse. Whereas my whole
Neither.
family are huge musos. And when I was listening to it, I was like, oh my God, my mum and my brother are gonna love this. And I was like, wait, it's not out yet. I don't think I should send it to them. So I'm so excited that tomorrow I can send it to them and
I'm so
we'll get some
excited
more
too.
fangirling going on.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that'd be great. And hopefully I can come and play in
Oh,
England.
we'd love that. Come. Okay. When was the last time you felt fearful and how did you handle it?
I mean, I feel fearful often. Probably just at some point yesterday, or I mean, I do often, I love to say that I never have any, doubts or fears. And I think, like, I can say safely that they're not bigger than momentary. They're engaging in momentary, they're just engaging in moments of fear, really, where I go, God, like, this is all I do. This is what I'm like. I don't know how to do anything else is music. And I look into the future and I go, gosh, like, what if this doesn't get me anywhere? And like, what if I have no financial security? What if I'm old and my bones are breaking and I can't afford, medical, or can't afford. I worry about that kind of stuff, particularly. I don't know if it just happens when you turn 30, but like around that, like where you start to kind of, get a bit older, and you. And I just try and ground myself in the moment, and I go, you're just catastrophizing. In any other job, you'd be at the top of the ladder by now if you've been doing what I've been doing for as long as I've been doing it. I just remind myself that, I'm doing what I love, and I'll just I remind myself that I'm resilient, and I just, try and ground myself in the moment.
That's really powerful. I think something I've been taught, definitely didn't figure out for myself, is that we don't always have to listen to our first thought. And I think we can define ourselves so easily by like, well, that's the leading, loudest voice that I hear. But actually, I've learned, well, I've been taught to kind of take a beat and then engage maybe a second thought. And then the second thought is normally a lot more productive and kind than the first thought.
That's really powerful. I'll definitely take that unconsciously, because I think that's essentially what I try to do, is just go, that's just fear, and acknowledge that it's fear. But I think that's a really good. I'm interested to see what happens when I go, now what's your second thought? And I prompt myself to like engage in a second thought and a third thought, rather than just trying to like, I think I probably would try and squash it more so, rather than allow it to be and allow it to pass.
No, it is really powerful and it's definitely easier said than done. I think I've had moments where the first thought has been very reactionary. Then I have the second thought, which is where I would like to behave, but I continue to behave in the first realm of the first thought with the awareness, so it's even worse. And actually, that's when I do stuff that just makes me feel icky. For example, like being just a dick to your partner, and you're like, I can tell I'm being a dick. I don't want to be being a dick.
And it's like, not only am I hurting them by being a dick, I'm also just feel horrible myself because I've just been an arsehole.
Yeah, moving out of that reactionary place is like definitely what I'm aiming for. I like to be one of those zen people, you know. Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Yeah,
and it's funny. I feel like as soon as I start thinking about it consciously, I'm like, oh God, now I'm having a reactionary, you know, like because I don't think that I don't really have that much conflict in my life. And it's like, it's very, you know, it's fairly conflict free at the moment. And so, yeah, when they, like, it's funny that as soon as I feel like you get tested, as soon as you start taking note of that, particularly when you're starting to meditate as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Okay. Final one. Where is your happy place?
In my room. I love being in my room.
Are you in your room now?
I would say my... Yeah.
I love it. It's so much art and colour. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it here. I like it in here. But I think my happy place is more with people. Or I really like being alone with people. If that makes sense. Like, I love being around, like, in terms of the walking, you know, when you asked about what's closest to prayers, walking for me, I would just like to go on really long walks and just pass through and think. I'm pretty happy, you know, like, wherever I go. I think it's probably somewhere inside me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my room is pretty... sturdy.
I love that.
But me, I feel like my room is like a place to retreat to myself. I definitely feel more at home and more alive and more, I think my whole life is about connecting, whether that be through music or through conversation or and so I think I feel the most myself when I'm connecting one-on-one with another person.
Yeah, I feel that. Something I've also picked up on, and we will wrap up because it's a long one. But something I've really picked up on with you is that you have built a really good tribe. And I know that obviously on a personal level, because I know your inner circle, and I know that they're all great people in that they have that self-reflection as well. And they've all been on journeys, and you guys collectively really prioritize your emotional well-being, which I find really inspiring, that you have that clarity amongst one another and support each other in that way. But even in your creativity, you know, you're talking about collaboration and seeking out sort of like-minded creative spirits that are willing to invest in, you're willing to invest in one another's vision. And that is really powerful. So connection is clearly something from an outsider looking in that fuels you. But I know, as someone that is also fueled by connection, that I also really need that alone time to recharge. So I totally get why you said your room. And Steve laughs at me a lot because I'm so particular. I'm not particularly tidy. Like, I'm not anally tidy, but I am particular about how it looks, how it feels. I always move stuff around in this room. This is kind of like my room. He always teases me, but I did kind of take over it. And I like need it to just be nice because this is very creative.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people, I think I definitely, I found it really hard. Like, I mean, I'm quite an extroverted person, but I have such a rich interior world that requires a lot of attention as well. That like I found it hard to deal with that fact that I wasn't extrovert. I was like, I'm actually feel very introverted, but I do need to spend a lot of time on my own, whether it's in my room or funnily enough out in the world. I had like a consultation with I'm very into like personality theory and typology and stuff like that. And I had a consultation with someone and I was like, I don't feel that extrovert. And she's like, you spend all of your alone time in the world. And I was like, oh yeah.
That's so interesting. I argued with my brother about this recently because I called myself an introvert and he was like, He was like, I've never met a bigger extrovert. He was like, you want all the attention on you all the time. And I said, I may have used to wanted all the attention on me. And I, how I behave in the family sphere is very different to now how I behave out in the world. But that is an amazing point. And I think that is something that Benjamin and I had in common, is that we would go off into like the CBD or like Surrey Hills on a busy Crown Street or whatever, and that but alone, like, and yeah, we'd, that would, yeah, be our happy place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like there's something really nice about like having this like, you know, fortitude and this like sense of like being one of many, like just, yeah, being able to exist within a living, breathing entity. I don't know. It's, there's just something very beautiful and cathartic about that.
And I feel like I can be and my like, fully sooky, sentimental self. And just, you know, when you have those moments and just everything feels really beautiful and rich, as you were saying, and I can just soak it up in all my over the top sort of like chronically emotive way of just sucking the atmosphere dry. And if I was with someone else, they just wouldn't get it on that level.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. And see, sometimes you just need to be that. And sometimes you're the only one who knows what that is. Yeah. Or like can you know, like sometimes it's, yeah, you don't need to share that with someone else. You're just like, I'm just experiencing this thing. Yeah. Oh,
okay, that's just like the perfect note for us to finish on. So exactly. Last thing, let's tell us the name of your album. Where can we get it? Where can we find you on socials? Tell me everything.
Oh yeah. So I'm Harry, but I make music under Huck Hastings.
I wanted to ask you about what the name is from. This is a long interview. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's nothing too crazy. I just when I was starting out the project, I was at a festival and we decided to give each other, my friend and I decided to give each other or to adopt names and be different people for the weekend when we met other people. And I found that it was in that a kind of transitional period in my life. And it allowed me to be this new person that I felt like I actually was, that was unshackled by people's expectations of me or the, without them being able to push me back into a former version of myself. And so yeah, when I was on stage, it was kind of, it's like that kind of, it's easy to be yourself with a mask kind of idea. Love so that. When I was on stage, I was able to express this more confident, more audacious, bolder version of myself, which ended up, you know, now it's just, you know, it's not the same person that I was when I first stepped onto the stage at that time. Now it feels like it's all just kind of streamlined into, you know, it's much less compartmentalized now. But yeah, that's so where that's cool. From you can find me on everything, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, wherever you get your music, and it's just under Huck Hastings, and the album is called Cheers to Progress.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I will link to everything in the show notes as well to make it easy for you guys. Harry, thank you. I feel like I've just had a beautiful therapy / best friend hangout. That was awesome.
Oh, so nice. So nice. Always here for it.